You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. Matthew Leach talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter Anthony Nicomo. You were there when David Wright addressed reporters yesterday, I guess. The reports were kind of strange, and yours included, and I don't mean the report itself, but the image it was painted was of a pretty emotional Wright speaking fairly optimistically. In total, what did you take from talking to Wright?
It was really bizarre from the way the whole thing was set up and presented to us from the media, as if there was this big news coming. And then David started talking, and you could almost see not tears in his eyes, but it was almost like he was welling up a little bit. And we were waiting for this, other shoe to drop, and it never really did. It was just Wright talking about, you know, how optimistic he is, how uncertain he is, yes, but how he's confident that he's going to play. And he kept saying, using the phrase sooner rather than later. He was asked point blank at one point, you know, do you think you're going to play again this season? And he almost laughed it off, like, of course I'm going to play again this season. Like it was the first time he had ever heard a question like that. So it was a really almost surreal the way the interview went. Because, yeah, the way he looked, and you could tell he was just very, you know, Wright, who is always, as long as I've known him, been this picture of coolness, of suave. You know, he's just very good in front of the camera and all that. He wasn't those things yesterday. He was kind of like I've never seen him, almost like he was nervous to be doing the interview, very uncomfortable, things like that. And yet, like you said, the things that were coming out of his mouth were for the most part, pretty optimistic. So it's just a weird situation. We don't really know what's going on a day-to-day basis because David Wright doesn't know, and they're just taking it week to week, him and his doctors out in California, and you know, the hope is that one day or one week pretty soon they'll look up and his doctor will say, okay, you're clear to start doing some baseball activities to start playing. You know, this is an issue, and I think this is sort of going into everything I just said. This is an issue that, if treated the wrong way, can have ramifications on the guy's life beyond baseball. And I think that's the scary part about it. You know, you're talking about a back, you're talking about a spine. These are heavy medical subjects. So I totally get where he's coming from. There's just still a lot of uncertainty with all of this. And I think that's what you saw maybe seeping into David Wright's emotions yesterday.
Just from a sort of baseball or medical perspective, do you feel like you or the club has any more read on the sort of immediate questions of his progress, where he goes now today, than you did 48 hours ago? Or was this mostly just kind of Wright checking in, being available, seeing his teammates?
It's a little of both. I mean, it's not like it was a hard news update, so to speak. You know, it's nothing we didn't already know or didn't at least already assume. But basically, he's in limbo. He's going to physical therapy. He's receiving treatment. And you know, he's meeting with one of the best back doctors in the country every Monday. And every Monday, he's given a new assignment for the week. And this is what you're going to do. And right now, that's been mostly the same stuff, the treatment, the physical therapy. And basically, David Wright, like I said, is waiting for one of these Mondays to come in and the doctor to tell him, okay, you're good to go. You can start swinging a bat. You can start throwing. You can start doing all the things you need to do to get back on the field. That could be next Monday. That could be 2 months from now. And it doesn't seem like anybody really has any idea. The only thing is they're just taking this as slow as they possibly can because they don't want to risk anything worse. They certainly don't want him to go down a path where, you know, he might eventually have to have back surgery, because that's something that you're talking about maybe ending his career at that point. And, you know, that's the worst-case scenario. That's what they're trying to avoid at all costs. If that means taking this slow for another 2 months, 3 months, whatever it might be, they're going to do it. They hope it's not that long. But, yeah, in terms of an actual update, in terms of an actual day-to-day, there wasn't a lot of it. It's just more of this, you know, knowing what we don't know at this point and trying to figure out a way to, A, get him back on the field, but B, make sure they're doing it the right way and making sure this isn't going to be an issue that really affect both him as a player going forward, but even more so his quality of life.
In the near term, they have made yet another in a string of adjustments as far as how to handle Wright's absence. The most recent seems to be some increased prominence for Ruben Tejada. I'm guessing that is not a long or even medium-term solution. So where do they stand as far as the talk about maybe Daniel Murphy sliding back over there, as far as Dilson Herrera coming back? With that infield situation, where are they at, not only right now, but as they look at the next few weeks?
It's a really weird situation because, you know, we were talking about how much we don't know about David Wright, and yet that plays in so much. The Mets are pretty adamant about not moving Daniel Murphy to third base, even though they think that's probably his best defensive position. They're pretty adamant about not doing that unless they think Wright's going to be out for a very long time. At some point, if they think that's what's best for the team, they're going to have to do it. And I think ultimately, when Dilson Herrera gets healthy and he's started along that process, it should be a couple more weeks for him, but he's definitely making progress. I think at that point, when he comes back, if Wright is still in limbo, you'll see Murphy move to third base. You'll see Dilson Herrera play second base every day. And the Mets also have been pretty adamant about not moving Wilmer Flores from shortstop. So I don't necessarily see that happening. You know, the one thing, and you're right, that Ruben Tejada is not a long-term answer. You know, he's had a nice hot streak at the plate. I don't think anyone really expects that to continue for a long time. But the one thing that could throw a wrench in all this is the Mets look up and they decide to make a trade. There are guys out there who could help this club. And Sandy Alderson was pretty frank yesterday in saying he doesn't want to acquire a third baseman to replace Wright. But if a guy like, and I'm just throwing some names out there, if a guy like a Ben Zobrist or a Martin Prado becomes available, a guy who can play a lot of positions, who could conceivably have a spot on this team after Wright comes back, and could play third base every day before he comes back. If a guy like that becomes realistically available for them, then they could certainly spring a deal, and I think it might behoove them to do it sooner rather than later, because the utility of a deal like that is right now, while Wright is out, while Dilson Herrera is out, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of different machinations that are going on here. This could go in any number of ways, but yeah, if to answer your question the short way, if David Wright's out for a significant period of time, I think it is inevitable that Daniel Murphy moves to third base at some point.
Is Chris Johnson any kind of fit at all for them? That's a guy the Braves would certainly love to move if they could.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but the thing with a guy like that is he's essentially a third baseman, whereas the Mets are looking for someone who could be more versatile. They don't want to acquire a third baseman and then, you know, have David Wright come back and be saddled with that guy and not really have a place to play him. You know, the name that makes a ton of sense to me is Martin Prado. If he becomes available, is a guy who could play third base for you every day, and then once David Wright comes back, he could fill in for Murphy at second. He could fill in the outfield. He could fill in any number of places, really, and you could essentially have a guy who's still playing 5 to 6 times a week for you, giving other guys a break, giving David Wright a break, because I think even in a best-case scenario, you're not going to be able to play David Wright 7 days a week once he comes back. I think they're going to have to be a lot more prudent about it. So I don't think they're going to invest prospects. I don't think they're going to invest money in a guy unless they're confident he can be a big part of their team even after Wright comes back. And a guy who essentially only plays third base, I'm not sure is that guy.
One last thing. What did you see from Noah Syndergaard last night? I mean, as you noted, and he said himself, the stuff was plenty wow. The results were mixed. Was it just as simple as missing location? What did you see from him in that game?
Yeah, I saw a young guy with awesome stuff who couldn't put it where he wanted to. I mean, it's as simple as that. And he's going to have games like that. As long as it doesn't become a trend, I don't think it's anything to worry about. If you've got a starting pitcher who's striking out 10 batters in 4 innings, it's really not a cause for concern. Now, if he goes out and has 3 outings in a row, 4 outings in a row like this, where he's just not putting the ball in particular places that he wants to, then it becomes a worry. Then you have to worry, you know, are his mechanics right? Is he doing the things he needs to do to essentially get big league hitters out at that point? But, you know, he's looked so good in the start before that. I don't think we're anywhere near that point Noah Syndergaard, and you know, obviously, as we say every week on this podcast, the stuff is just incredible, which contributes to a lot of that.
Have you ever seen? And I mean this. Not, I don't mean sort of hypothetically. I mean, I'm literally asking because I'm not sure I have. You ever seen a starter throw a 97 mile an hour sinker before? It's a ridiculous pitch, and I've seen relievers do that. I'm not sure I've ever seen a starter throw that pitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you talk about that because, you know, Terry Collins was saying yesterday how as good of a pitch as it is, you know, it's a relatively new pitch for him, and he doesn't want Noah Syndergaard necessarily to fall in love with it because his fourth new fastball is so good, because his curveball is so good, and so on and so forth. I mean, we've seen some guys with power sinkers before. Mike Pelfrey comes to mind when he first came up before he lost a lot of his velocity. He was throwing in the mid, sometimes upper 90s with his sinker. I mean, it's if you can locate a pitch like that, it can be absolutely devastating, maybe even more so than a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, just because there can be so much movement on it, relatively speaking, and without the loss of velocity. It's a dangerous pitch for a guy like Noah Syndergaard, who already has two, I would say, plus pitches. And, you know, it's something that if he can continue, this is a very new pitch for him, and if he can continue working on it, I think you know, it's going to make him that much better.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.